The following talk was given at Dharma Field Meditation and Learning Center in Minneapolis on October 28, 2018. This talk may not be played or reproduced for profit.
Good morning. So, golly. Good to see everyone. We're all looking a little older. Time keeps marching on. Hello, Norm. I see you back there. Steve. So here we are. You know, it's. I always think we should ask ourselves, you know, what are we doing when we come here? Or is sitting, or, you know, all those things. Bottom line is we're all looking for something. Mostly, I think we're looking for some kind of peace. You know, our lives are, you know, pretty. Sometimes they're going pretty good. Sometimes they're a little rocky. So we're always looking for that kind of peace or inner core or, you know, whatever you want to say about that. And our usual way is we try to arrange things so that they are going our way. A couple of weeks ago, I was up in the UP. I gave a talk at one of our priest's place. We've got 7 women, 7 men who've been ordained. So 2 of them are up in the UP, and you know, we were at a restaurant there, and afterwards they say, you should see the parking lot here. So the parking, we went right outside the restaurant, right around the backside. There was a huge gorge, you know, there, and they had 5-inch rains. Half of this parking lot just collapsed into this gorge, along with cars, and one person died in that. We have the shootings yesterday, you know, in Pittsburgh at the synagogue. We're here in a kind of a, you know, church setting, so to speak. You expect it to be peaceful. And yet, you know, 11 people died in just a spray of bullets. So we're all old enough to know in our own scale, in our own families, you know, our own relationships, our own health, you know, you name it. Things don't always go our way. Even though we expect this to be a peaceful environment, but so life has its twists, and we all have had some experience of that, I'm sure. So where's peace and where's nirvana when things don't go our way? We're happy when the doctor tells us, hey, you're doing good, just keep doing what you're doing, you know. So that's great, then I can keep doing what I'm doing, you know. But so when things don't go our way, it's like, where is peace and where is equanimity, so to speak? So our usual way, the way we operate as human beings, is on an order that we might call relative reality. Relative reality means, you know, this situation, this table, I expect it to hold up. You know, this day, we're expecting it, we're hoping for it to go well. And it's just the way that we generally operate. But Katagiri Roshi, I've been reading from a more recent book that Andrea Martin edited called The Light That Shines Through Eternity. He says, to settle yourself into the rhythm of the universe is our challenge. He says the harmony of this peace or whatever we all desire is allegiance and submission to the truth of constant change, the rhythm of the universe, which is called Dharma. So what is the rhythm of the universe? The rhythm of the universe is the rhythm of the universe. It's beyond you and me. So life, that we call life, is in a sense on the surface. But this surface that we see as our life or this day is really backed by universe turning. And universe is hugely vast, more vast than this moment, this time. It is this moment. So how do we operate there when universe is a true reality? It's beyond just the surface. Yeah, I had oatmeal this morning. Oatmeal came from the sun and the earth. This moment is constantly interwoven with, we could say, endless time. Our galaxy and galaxies beyond us. So how do we take care of moment and be alive in moment where we are? So that quality is to bring ourselves to moment. You just sat, you know, 40 minutes sitting. I was staying last night there with Tomoe Katagiri. We did a little zazen this morning. In her, she has a little room devoted to a little Buddha room. So we did a little 10-minute sitting, kind of, and then chanted the Heart Sutra. But I really felt in that 10 minutes, it's like, what is that 10 minutes? What is your 40 minutes? It's to sit up in this moment, those 10 minutes, or these 40 minutes that you just sat. Be alive in moment. Sutra says, don't try to attain and get something. Just be there. Be alive in this moment, this time. Zen Master Dogen calls that, what is that? He said, it's, in a sense, it's non-thinking. So, wait a minute, what is non-thinking? Non-thinking is drop off your commentary about whether this is a good day or a bad day or the temperature here is good or it's bad. Just take care of where things are. If you can change something, we should change it. Get up and do it. But there are countless situations in our life where we don't have control over something that's going down that we don't like. And that we could even say it was horrendous. So life has its vastness beyond our take on things, beyond the relative reality. It comes. It's way beyond you and me sometime. And, you know, the flip side of that, of course, is if we take care of wherever we are, that moment also interfaces with endless future. So we're talking about a paradigm to kind of how do we think about our lives or how do we think about existence. We need to get beyond just the surface. It's kind of like surface is surface. It's real what happens and what goes on. The true reality is vast beyond our take on things. So can I sit up in today's day, whatever is going down? That is our challenge. That is our practice, I think. You know, as we say, Zen practitioners. What is that? Is it getting high off the cushion? Is it trying to experience oneness or get enlightenment? The Zen teacher I had in Japan, he kept saying, you know, enlightenment is right under your foot. You take care of where you are. Take care of this day. Take care of your health where it is. You know, your health, my health, it's not really my idea to be kind of knocking on the door of 80, but somehow I'm there next year. So I don't feel it really, but that's just my notions. I don't feel it. I'm hacking half the time, and you know. So, you know, life, can we take care of moment wherever it is? Beyond our take on things sometime. Doesn't mean we shouldn't take care of ourselves, but ultimately, can I sit up in what is? That is non-thinking, beyond my commentary about it. This morning I said the gatha, or there's a like vow, you know, it says, I've said this before here, waking up this morning, I vow with all beings to realize everything without exception, embracing the 10 directions. So to realize everything without exception, can I live this day as it is? Can I take care of it? Can I take care of what's under my foot? Can I be upright into today's day, beyond my take on it? That is Zen practice, I think. And Zazen is just 40 minutes. The instruction is to do that. Sit up. Dogen, Zen Master Dogen, 13th century, transmitted, you know, Soto Zen lineage from China to Japan, says, you know, think not thinking. And the monk says, how do you think not thinking? And then Dogen says, non-thinking. So that non-thinking is to be alive in this moment, this time, you know, this day. So I think that that's a practice. We say, waking up this morning, I vow with all beings to realize everything without exception, embracing the 10 directions. Embracing the 10 directions is whatever comes up. That's kind of what fuels me, so to speak. So I started sitting, I think I've said this before here, I started sitting at the Minnesota Zen Center in 1976. I was just going through a divorce, and I remember I was sitting at the second seat to the right of the entryway. Sat down, somebody invited me to go there, and I sat that first 40 minutes sitting. And that 40 minutes sitting, you know, it's like my world was really spinning. But by the end of that 40-minute sitting, I had kind of come to grips with what was, with what is. So that moment was like, get your act together. That kind of conversation, I settled enough, you know, to say to myself, sit up in what is. This is what's going down. Quit your kind of antics and, you know, thrashing around and whatever, poor me, and the whole trip, you know, it's like, bring yourself to your 3-year-old son, you know, bring yourself to your life. That was really interesting. And I think I've been sitting for, you know, I don't know, 40 years. Why? You know, it's all kinds of stuff. You know, you don't even, what's the rewards or whatever. You start looking for rewards, poking your head into this or that, about anything. It's like, can you bring yourself to moment on a day-to-day basis? That is Kedagiri Roshi's teaching here, you know, like, he says, peace of mind is the state of settling the small self in the big self. And he says, you can aim at this target every day. So, in a way, that is our practice, I think. Settling the small self, that is what I want, you know, what my plans are. We should make plans. You know, we should kind of change what's going on in society or whatever, and around the world. We should do our piece. But ultimately, can you settle yourself in the larger, in the big self, which is, there's a lot of forces going on. How do you handle that? It's not simple. It's not wrapped around your ideas necessarily about how things should be. To work with that is the practice. We always want to kind of pull the knotted thread to get what we want, but it just makes the knot even harder. It's like growing up in the universe, growing up in a broader, bigger world. So who can do this? You know, we all have our moments when we whine or when we feel like we can't go forward. Many things, maybe. But right there is, I think, the practice. It is your 40-minute sitting. 40 minutes is the 40 minutes of our whole life. And I always remember Kedagiri Roshi saying, you know, when you're boxed in a corner and can't move an inch, that's where Buddhism starts. So it's really a true statement, I think, because when you're boxed in a corner, it's beyond your control sometimes. And if so, how do you take care of that moment, that time? And then he says, settle your small self in the big self, submit yourself to the rhythm of the universe, and continue doing this under all circumstances. And over here, same statement, he says, the harmony of you know, this peace or whatever is allegiance and submission to the truth of constant change, the rhythm of the universe. And this, we say, is Dharma. So how do you bring yourself to be in harmony with the rhythm of the universe? So that, it is emerging. It is kind of, dropping off body and mind, which is a term, Shinjin Datsuraku in Japanese, which means sit up in moment. It is non-thinking. Don't confuse non-thinking without being savvy or without, you know, really looking at a situation and working with it. But ultimately, can you kind of stay in there? That quality is really the practice. Then Master Tozan says, if you can maintain continuity, that is called to be host within the host. So if you can maintain continuity, is like to stick with your day-to-day practice, I think. And that practice, then we start thinking, oh, that means Zafu, Zabutan. Forget it. You know, Zen masters have said, you know, Zazen is good for nothing. You know, we're always sitting to attain something, to get something. The real sitting is sit up in moment beyond getting or not getting. wherever you are, whether you never even sit on a zafu or zabutan. Sit up in moment. And one other thing is my Dharma name was Kedagiri Roshi gave me in the I was in a lay ordination class with Tony Ortino, I remember, and a lot of other folks way back. But Tomoy Kedagiri we were sewing rakasus, and my Dharma name that I was given then was Shoken. So what is Shoken? This is really good, So I kind of draw on this once in a while. Means clear, and ken is manifestation. So clear manifestation. What does that mean? Does it mean it's not about giving talks or being succinct in your presentation or something? Clear manifestation means get yourself out of the way a little bit and take care of what is. That quality is really good. Last night, I was coming back, and I was unfamiliar. I was going a little bit slower on a turnaround, turnout of one of the highways over here, 100. And a guy in a big pickup truck was like honking at me. And I was going 35, 40 miles an hour, but did I have a calm mind? I didn't. And I did something I reflected on this later. I had never used one of my fingers to express a feeling, but I did. And if we had pulled over and he had a gun and I had a gun, who knows what would have happened. It's like in those moments, we all have them, in some way. Where is clear manifestation? Where is this handling? So I'm feeling this, and I'm right on his tail, like for a block or two blocks, and I'm still feeling this. And I said, what are you doing here and there? I had a little conversation started coming up, but I still felt it, so I just started engaging in conversation. This was with Tomoy-san, She was not aware of any of this, But a little conversation with her about the weather or something, or, wow, this is really a different neighborhood here than it used to be. They tore down something in there, or head of the lake or whatever. But anyway, it was good, and I could feel, the feeling, all that rage, really. Just dissipated, And every so often, I could see the truck up there. And he'd get caught by a red light, or something. And I could feel some of it coming back again, I said, this is really stupid. It was interesting. I wasn't going to share that because, Zen teachers shouldn't, have this kind of problem, so... But anyway, clear manifestation, These are just words we throw around, So where is peace again, too, We throw that word around. Well, it's feeling good. Well, who says we're supposed to feel good all the time? Sometimes we're really sick inside, so to speak. How do you continue? How do you take care of day to day? So that is Buddha Dharma Sangha. We say, the right way. The right way is not something denominational or Buddhist. The right way is be in touch with the true way. What is the way? The way is the rhythm of the universe, pulsing moment to moment. Even in a white pickup truck, with a baseball cap driver, it's like, it is the way. Who knows what his reality was, in hindsight, I can say that from a rational mind, But in the moment, what is the right way? Is it Buddhism, give me a break. It's like one more ism. So that quality, I think, is actually maybe our practice. And one more point. Kadagiri Roshi says that this harmony is allegiance and submission to the truth of constant change. Allegiance and submission is, can I get with what's happening? It may be horrendous. It may be depressing. It may be exciting, and we want to kind of it to last forever, you know. But submission, allegiance and submission to the reality of constant change. So that really is, we say, a bow. What is a bow? I always tell people it's like at Rumanji, and people come for a tour, you know. I say, well, this is a Buddha hall, you know. But I say the Buddha never claimed any kind of divinity or divine inspiration. Buddha just looked at how interwoven and interconnected all life is. So that's cool. They kind of like that, you know. But, you know, but to live that is a bow. Which is to bow to what is. To get ourselves, our arrogance, our wanting things our way, which is human. It's all part of who we all are. We expect people to be nice to us. And when they're not, we're irritated with them. Or whatever is going down. But that quality is, Kadagiri Roshi says, allegiance and submission to. So we should learn full prostration to universe, to life as it is. And then people say, oh, that this means passivity. You know, you let people walk over you, you know. We're not talking about that. You know, we should negotiate the waters and deal with stuff and do whatever is in our own kind of character to change things for a peace, more peaceful, more harmonious world. So Kadagiri, I just close. He says, so keep turning the stream of mind away from your dualistic thoughts and inward to the energy of your life. That is our Zazen practice. So our dualistic thoughts is, you know, we like things this way and we don't like things that way. And that's our usual way. Our feelings and emotions are constantly swung by our likes and our dislikes. We go through life like that. It's really living on the surface. So the universe is beyond our take on anything. Trust yourself. Trust your assessment of situations. Work to change them. But ultimately, you know, be alive in moment as it is. It's kind of my two cents worth, you know, it's sort of what I've been coming back to lately. Those kind of thoughts. Any comments, sir? How's life going your way these days? Susan? No. Yeah. Okay. Hello there. Do you hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say something. So I get that the rhythm of the universe.
universe is what it is beyond our likes and dislikes. Still, that seems like a tall order, especially when emotions like fear or anger are involved.
Right.
Can you say a little bit more about dealing with that?
So fear and anger are our realities. Yeah, right. You know, it's like, I think, you know, can we take a breath somehow in the midst of fear and in the midst of anger? With this fellow, I could not take a breath for the first 20 seconds or so. I was really just rage. So anger was really in me. Right there. Somehow it just kicked a button off. But at some point in that, I said, you got control over this. It wasn't that rational, but it's like change the scenario here. And I said, you know, what's all these new buildings around here, Tomoisan? I haven't seen all those before. And I was conscious. I was flipping my mind off of where it was and moving, you know. And that was good because it worked for maybe about 30 seconds. And then, you know, I was back on it again. And I noticed, you know, I was aware that I was on it. I'm a pretty spontaneous person, you know, and so it's not like I'm kind of analyzing every motion, you know, every moment of everything I do. But I was aware of that kind of phenomena there, you know, because it kind of surprised me. I mean, I was really, you know, I hadn't been ticked like that in who knows, really. I can't even remember the last time I was really ticked like that. Where's that extra phrase come from?
Where anger comes up and you just react before you realize what you were doing.
Right.
You just, and you think, oh my God, yeah, the guy could have a gun or something like, you know.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Usually I don't get upset at other drivers, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
It can happen.
How you doing, Bob? Haven't seen you for a while. Hanging in there? Good. Good. Yes.
I just wanted to say I appreciate your honesty. It's very helpful. And it's a refreshing thing to hear from a long-time practitioner and abbot of a monastery.
Right. All those things I thought, that's why I don't say anything, you know, on Dharma Field.
Okay.
Yes.
Along those lines, oh, I think
go ahead.
I often find I learn more from teachers or other people when I see how they deal with their difficulties and mistakes. So I too appreciate it.
Yeah. You know, we're all in it, so nobody's above it. Yeah.
I like your story too about the finger. I used to live in New York City. Sometimes I would do that in traffic, and I liked riding, driving in traffic. Sometimes I'd get irate after somebody's finger, but then I noticed when you do that, it really provokes other people's extreme rage and road rage and guns out there, and it can be very dangerous. So,
right. Yeah.
My thinking for you is, you know, next time that happens, think of a potential headline.
Thank you. That'll keep me straight. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming, I don't know what was going on in the pickup driver's mind. I would just assume he was just irate at this guy going slow and just got into this whole thing.
Yeah.
But the difference, I think, between your reaction and probably his reaction is because of the practice, you were doing a commentary on it. You were looking at it rather than just being totally caught up in it.
Yeah, maybe.
You know.
You'd think. You can get caught up in a lot of things. Rosemary?
This is going to sound like a personal question, but it's not.
Okay.
When you talked about your Dharma name, it reminded me of a question I've had for a while, because I've heard different versions of this. When people give a Dharma name, is it traditionally supposed to be descriptive or aspirational?
It might be a little bit of both, but basically aspirational. I mean, it's something you should aspire to. You know, Katagiri Roshi's, his Dharma name is Dai Nin, which is great patience. And his teacher gave him that when he was ordained at 18 years old. He says, why did my teacher give me the name Great Patience? I had no patience, you know. I just wanted everything to happen like this. So I think it's you know, it's a little bit more, or something too, maybe the teacher sees in you, you know, and just wants to foster that too. So it could be, you know. And all those things are, you know, those are just old traditions. They're, in a sense, they're gimmicks, you know, you could say. Because it's just like little reminders to yourself. But some of those things, you know, mean something to some people. With other people, you know, it might just basically turn them off. God, what's all this stuff? Who needs that? It's cool. We're all just, you know, different people. You know, so whatever works, you know, it's good for you. Shaved head. Now, I'm kind of liking it because it's getting pretty thin up there, you know, and so I can hide, you know, my, you know, but shaved head, you know, it's like drop off a little bit. Throw yourself into life as it is. Really pick up a moment. That quality is, we all should, I say this to people, we're all called to be monks, you know, in a generic way, monks of the universe. Why monks of the universe? Why is that a paradigm, you know? Well, we're all products of the universe. We're products of this galaxy. We're products of myriad galaxies. We embody all of that. So if that's who we are, Tozan Rokai, founder of Soto Zen lineage, came from Tozan, Soto, and his disciple Sozan. He says, you are not it, it is you. It is you, universe. So embody that. Bring that forward, moment. Live, be alive in your life, kind of thing. So let's go have a cup of tea. And say hello to each other. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. To hear more talks on Buddhism, Zen, and related topics, visit dharmafield.org.